listening to County Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the New York State Association of Counties. This episode features a conversation between NYSAC's Deputy Director, Mark Levine, Allegheny County Treasurer, Terry Ross, and 3+1's Director of Public Partnerships, William Cherry. They will discuss sources of revenue for counties, what benefits counties are seeing by partnering with 3+1, and the priorities of a county treasurer in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Terry, let's start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about Allegheny County, where you are in the state of New York, and what are some of the key facets of Allegheny County?
Well, we are one of the counties in the western part of the state. Our southern border is Pennsylvania, and then we border Cattaraugus County, Livingston County, Wyoming, and Steuben. We have a population of just under $49,000 people. I guess you better edit that. 49,000 people, and we have 29 towns in our county. We are very, very rural, about 80 miles from Buffalo and Rochester. We have three colleges, Alfred University, the College of Ceramics is located there, Alfred State College, and Houghton College. We really, our big draws are tourism. The Genesee Valley, or the Genesee River, runs through Allegheny County, and we have a lot of kayaking, and a lot of people use the river for entertainment. There's campgrounds, but again, you know, we're rural in nature. We don't have a lot of shopping. We have to go outside for that, but there is so much to enjoy here in the western New York wilds here in Allegheny County.
It sounds like a beautiful part of the state and a beautiful part of the nation.
Yeah, we're very rich in history and heritage. Everyone takes that to heart, and we appreciate and have a lot of pride in our county.
Great. You're the treasurer. You're the county treasurer there. And you used to be the president of the New York State Treasurers Association. For those listeners who may not know it, can you talk about a little bit about what it's like to be a county treasurer? What does a county treasurer do?
Well, in my case, we have a lot of different hats we wear here. our office is responsible for, you know, revenue collections, tax foreclosures, unfortunately, community college billings, accounts payable, payroll. We work with the retirement system. You know, we work with all our employees, about 500 employees. You know, we do all the investments. I happen to be the deputy budget officer as well, so I wear that hat and am very involved with the preparation of the budget and the implementation and monitoring the budget throughout the entire year. We have about $130 million budget. General funds roughly 96 million, I believe. We have, you know, our tax levies kind of high compared to some other counties, but we don't have a lot of other revenues to bounce off from. Our sales tax is pretty level, but, you know, we kind of handle all those hats in our office.
What are your top 3 to 7 priorities right now today as we're looking at the second half of 2020?
Well, obviously COVID's up there. We're trying to get through COVID and make sure that we are doing the best we can in protecting our not only our employees but our residents of the county. Getting them what they need, getting the businesses what they need, working with all the establishments to get their PPE and everything and following the regulations from the governor. We also are still the watchdog for the taxpayer. So we are still trying to make sure that we get the biggest bang for the buck. So if there's money out there that we can get for reimbursement for some of the things we've needed to maintain this COVID pandemic and keep things rolling here, then we're doing everything we can to find that source of funding. We're also at the same time trying to keep our costs down so that, you know, in light of us maybe not getting all our state aid or federal aid or any kind of aid and trying to deal with the 20% possible cuts, you know, we're making arrangements here where departments are not spending their money, trying to be safe and conservative and so that we can weather the storm when it's over. We're hoping we're going to still come out in the black and be okay. We're fortunate here that we've had a healthy fund balance over the last few years. So cash-wise, we're doing great, but, you know, we don't know what's ahead for us. Other than that, I think being the taxpayer's eye and trying to make sure we do the best for the taxpayer has always been my goal. My old boss used to say, just because his name was on the check doesn't mean it's his money. So I try to be very conscious about the way things are spent here and try to instill that in the other department heads and employees that we're really working for the taxpayers. So that's probably my biggest priority.
That's right. That's great. Thank you, Terry. Okay.
Well,
so, let's shift. Okay, so for those who may not know it on the line or who are listening to this podcast, Terry, where does a county's money come from and how does it get allocated?
Okay, well, in our case, we have a few sources of revenues that come in, the largest of them being our tax levy. For 2020, our tax levy was about $29 million. Our sales tax is about $21 million, and we have state and federal funding, which runs between $12 and $14 million a piece. So those are our main four sources of revenues. Obviously, the levy is it's kind of the last thing you want to use, but in the end, that's the only way for us to raise money to support all the programs that we have to provide. And obviously, a lot of those programs are state-run programs or state-mandated programs, and, you know, the county has a share in them. While there are some of them that are 100%, most of them are not 100%. You know, our biggest expense for a mandated program that we have is probably the Medicaid line. You know, that is roughly about $10 million for Allegheny County, which comes directly out of our levy. So that balance of that $19 million out of our tax levy provides all the rest of the services, meaning all our roads and bridges, all our community college costs, all our employee costs and benefits, and all the programs that we want to run, right down to Office for the Aging, Veterans, all of those offices that don't have a lot of state aid coming in on them, if any, have to be run with funds coming from that tax levy. So that's why we're very conscious when we put our budget together that levy is the last source of money that we like to go to. We put together our budget. We're in the middle of putting together our budget for 2021 right now, and obviously 2021 is a challenge because of the COVID and all the unknowns about the state and federal aid and what we're going to get. And obviously, we're still going to be required to run the program as is. So it may be that county share goes from being, 10% to now being 30% if we lose 20% of that state aid. So we're fighting with those demons, trying to make our budget, balance the best we can without raising that tax levy, because, you know, that's the last thing we want to do is really have a large tax increase. And with the cap, we don't have a lot of room anyway. We don't have a lot of wiggle room. 2% cap on our $29 million, it certainly is not a lot of money to absorb all those costs. So we work diligently on that and, try our best to get that budget to be a reasonable budget and stay within all the limits that we're charged to follow.
And just to be clear, when you refer to it as the tax levy, those are property taxes, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And property taxes are imposed on who in Allegheny County or who in a normal county or any county?
Well, it would be what was assessed on all the property owners in Allegheny County. So you look at the total taxable value within our county of all the properties. We have roughly about 33,000 parcels in Allegheny County. So, you know, there's a convoluted calculation on how to get to all that taxable value, and with the equalization rates and the assessments. And once that's determined, then we have a value that we spread that levy out on and get a tax rate per thousand.
So you the property tax is imposed on homeowners and businesses. And how about the colleges and universities that you have in Allegheny County?
Homeowners, businesses, vacant lands, colleges and schools and those type of things are usually exempt. So they may, while they may pay a special district tax, they probably are not taxable for a county or a town tax or a school or a village tax. So they would be exempted from the assessment that we'd be able to spread that levy on. And we have a significant amount of exemptions in Allegheny County that we have to take out of that total assessment to get the taxable value.
Right. So you're drawing on a limited property tax base. And so you're having to fund county programs and state mandated programs from the people who live in Allegheny County. And that's a limited tax base. And now we have a property tax cap. Can you explain how that property tax cap works and the why that influences what you do as county treasurer?
Well, several years ago, the tax cap was imposed on counties and municipalities that we could not raise our tax levy by more than 2% or the percentage of that CPI that's determined throughout the year. I believe this year going forward for 2021, it's like 1.5%. And there are some differences in the calculation depending on what you have in there that when you go to the formula on the comptroller's website, there is a few things that you can put in the calculation that might allow you to go above that 1.5 or above that 2%, but that's all calculation you have to do before your final budget. And that limits us, so we have to kind of be creative on how we're going to fund things or when you're going to fund things. Like if you all of a sudden went out and got a big bond and you had to make that bond payment, you've got to make sure that that's not going to – that expense alone isn't going to put you over the cap without trying to make some other adjustments in your budget. So it is quite a challenge. I believe when we got the 2% cap on our levy, the state got a 2% cap on their spending, which is a totally different animal. But, you know, we have to do not only the 2% cap, but we also have to stay within our constitutional tax limit. Which is about 80% of your total taxable value. And Allegheny County is, we have a hard time with that because we have a high percentage in our constitutional tax limit. So we have to watch both of them. Some counties don't have to do that. We had to take a big hit back in 2004 and had to raise our taxes by 22%. So we took a big hit back then, and it's kind of, we're trying to stay within both the cap and the constitutional tax limit here in the Allegheny County.
Right. Now I'm going to shift back over to Bill, who used the word watchdog before in terms of the role of the county treasurer. Bill, who are you a watchdog for?
Well, you're a watchdog for the taxpayers. It's taxpayers' money that comes through the treasurer's office in pretty much every case. I mean, when you think about it, Mark, everything that government does is a reallocation of funds. It's just as Terry described the sources. It's money coming in, whether it's federal money or state money or sales tax money or property tax money. It is taxpayer money coming in to the county treasurer's office, being deposited, held in safeguarded in bank accounts, and then when the, and then that money is with the, obviously the approval of the legislature's budgets and so on, that money is then spent on services, whether it's healthcare or law enforcement or Department of Social Service benefits or paving roads and fixing bridges. It's reallocating those funds. So the convergence point of those two transactions, the money coming in and then all of that same money eventually going out, is the county treasurer or the chief financial officer. So they're right in the middle of it.
So even though you left county office just a short time ago, Bill, you still have the mindset of what it's like to be the watchdog, to be the treasurer, to be the overseer of public funds. Can you talk about the transition from leaving county employment to what you're doing now?
Sure. Actually, I really didn't have plans to do anything after retirement. I've as Terry talked about NYSAC and the value of you, Mark Levine, Steve Aquario. I can't say enough good things about the great work that Steve does and that you do as his deputy and that NYSAC does for counties all across the state. I really thought my career was coming to an end. I bought a used motor home, and my wife, Sherry, and I were planning on traveling. Of course, that was before COVID interrupted those plans, but spending time with the grandkids and enjoying retirement. But then Steve Aquario said that there was this company that was based in Rochester, New York, that was doing some really pretty amazing things for some counties in Western New York, and Terry Ross and Allegheny County were one of them. And NYSAC was considering partnering with 3+1 to bring this, not only this program to all the counties in New York State, but also partnering with the New York, the National Association of Counties, NACO, and bringing it nationwide. So Steve said, listen, you've been around a long time and you know one or two things. Would you mind just going out there and seeing what it's about? How did this happen in this handful of counties? I think there was seven counties, if I remember correctly. Just last year, there were about seven counties that were participating. And so I went out and Terry and I talked a couple of times over the phone, and then I went and I visited the offices, and I talked to Scott German, he's the treasurer from Genesee County, and another terrific, well-respected treasurer. And I came back to Steve and I reported that it's the real deal. This company 3+1 is using liquidity data, providing that data to treasurers, and they're able to use that information to really drastically increase the interest that they're earning on their funds that are on deposit. So the next part was a little completely unexpected, as I reported that back. And then Steve, in his conversations with Joe Ruleson, who's the president of 3+1, really a terrific guy, very, very well respected in the financial world. Steve said, boy, you need a guy like Bill Cherry to help get that word out, because a lot of folks know him and respect the work he's done. And one thing led to another, and so now I'm associated with 3+1 as their director of public partnerships, and I travel around the state when possible, or we do it by video conferencing, and I talk to my former colleagues and kind of tell them kind of the key components of how the program works.
So can you talk about how your role with 3+1 CashBest helps you be the watchdog, helps you help your former colleagues who are county treasurer be the watchdog of county funds?
Sure. Well, there's some basic components. One is the increased interest earnings. By by having access to the data. And when you think of a county treasurer, many counties, all counties are complex financial organizations, but whether they be small counties with, we'll call it 50 to 60 different bank accounts, to large counties, we have we serve one of the counties on Long Island, one of the largest counties in the state. They had over 1,000 bank accounts. So, you know, there are numerous bank accounts, and keeping track of all that money is a daunting task, and can be, you know, next to impossible. Never mind earning interest on all of those different bank accounts and trying to make sure that you're maximizing that. So, what liquidity data does, and we call it the cash vest system. It's a patented electronic combination of all of the data into a computer program that then provides the treasurer with real time information that they can use to A, increase their interest earnings by identifying where all of their money is and how that money can be maximized, how the value can be maximized through longer-term investments. And what I mean by that is if a treasurer only knows that they have a certain amount of money, but they don't know exactly when they're going to need to have that money available to spend, they're limited in their information. It's like, well, I better just keep it all in a money market account, because what if I need it? You know, a treasurer never wants to have to be able to say, oh, geez, I needed this money and I tied it up in a CD. Now I've got to pay some penalty. Obviously, we would never, none of us ever want that to happen. And the value of cash vest is it gives a cash flow with guaranteed predictability. It gives a cash flow roadmap to treasurers where they can basically predict the future. They can see where their money needs will be in 3 months and 6 months and even a year out. And so they're able to then invest funds for longer time periods. If you know you're not going to need that, we'll call it $10 million for at least 6 months, there's no way that a treasurer is going to need to dip into that. Why not invest that money in a fixed rate CD where you can lock in rates and generate more income? So increased interest earnings, decreased banking fees, predicting the future allows counties to act in a prudent manner and not overreact or get caught off guard when there comes a revenue shortfall, like has happened this year with COVID. So knowing exactly what your liquidity position is allows treasurers like Terry to make informed, logical decisions, and also for well-respected people like Terry to report to their county board of supervisors or county legislators whether bonding or borrowing, short-term cash flow borrowing, is really needed. Without the full picture of how much liquidity you have available, it would be very, very difficult to make those kind of accurate decisions.
Terry, how did you come to know about 3+1?
Well, believe it or not, it was at a finance school that I was attending, and we have a great group of Western New York county treasurers that usually sit and eat lunch or dinner together, and Scott German was talking about this firm that he had spoken to and was deciding to use, and this was in 2017, and so we had a discussion about it, you know, at our table, and then it later on during that session, that finance school, Mr. Rulson was actually at finance school. So I was able to meet Joe and Garrett McDonald, who works for 3+1 as well, and sat down with them, and then came back to the office, spoke with my staff, and we decided that it was something we wanted to look into. I went to my committee of jurisdiction and asked if I could pursue it. They said, sure. So we pursued 3+1, and we signed a contract with them in late 2017. It has been one of the greatest things I think I've done in my career here at Allegheny County through the whole 37 years, is that, you know, we thought we were doing pretty good with what we had, but little did we know about the money we were leaving on the table, and we just need to be we needed to be pushed a little bit to say, hey, you're really not using that. You need to invest that in something. And so they came down, did their analysis. We were surprised at what the dollar value was we were leaving on the table. And I had, I've had two staff that worked really close with 3+1, and they have learned from them, and they have guided us in the direction. I never professed to be a banker and know all the ins and outs of investments, and they really gave us the confidence to go ahead and say, hey, we can do this. And every month we seem to push ourselves a little bit further. I will say that our general fund back in 2016, we were making less than $50,000 a year on interest. And in 2019, our general funds, we gained interest on those funds of just $10,000, shy of $800,000. So we came a long way in 2 years. You know, 17, 18, we climbed that ladder of investments, recoveries, and we have really done a fabulous job, and we could not have done that without 3+1. They came in and analyzed all our accounts. We were one of those counties that were paying a large amount of hidden fees. We were paying approximately $94,000 in hidden fees, and we were keeping too much money in the bank that we could have been investing. And so that is part of our recovery, was saying, okay, you don't need $8 million in that bank. You only need $4 million in that bank, so invest that other $3 million and, you know, get some money off your money. And we have now expanded into both the CDARS environment and the ICS environment, and we are very active in investing all the money we can to get what we want. Once you see those big numbers, it makes it all worth it in the end that you've struggled through, and you're like, okay, we're going to hit $800,000 in 2019, and we were just shy of that. So that was a great goal. This year is a little bit different because of the market and everything, but we still have – we've done extremely well, and I think we'll be doing good in the future. I think they have been a great, great company. The analysis alone, Mark, was something that myself nor my staff could have ever accomplished. The contacts they made with the banks, and they have, you know, this might seem minuscule, but, you know, we've got banks competing now for rates, which is great because we are very small here. We have very few banks, you know, and some of our banks don't even want our money. But we're able to, you know, have the guts, I guess, to say, hey, I'm getting 0.45 over here. Can you give me 0.5? And the banks are responding and saying, yeah, we will. We'll take your money and you can invest it with us. And so we have really got a lot of confidence built in the staff here from 3+1. It has been a great partnership with them. I'm very, very thankful to Scott for introducing me to Mr. Rulson, and they're a great firm. They're very easy to talk to. They're very, they want to do the best they can for you, and they really do come through with their promises. So, and like Bill said, you know, they're not a bank. We don't give them our money. We give them access to what they need to see, and they just use that data to the best of their ability to give us the advice we need. And it's been wonderful.
Great, great. And that's a shout out to Scott German, who is the Genesee County Treasurer. So you grew from 2016 to 2019 over $700,000 in additional interest. Is that correct?
That is correct. And that is just our general fund interest.
Okay. And then you also saved $94,000 in bank fees in that time?
Well, we actually didn't save all that $94,000, but we were paying $94,000, and now our fees are lower than they're lower than $30,000 for all the banks we use, and we have quite a list of banks. So we really did reduce that by about $60,000 as well, and that's a lot of money when you figure $60,000. I mean, you know, that's an employee with fringes, so I mean that's a lot of money to save in just that one thing.
That's a lot of money, and when you're talking about being a watchdog over the public fisc, right, in a county that relies on property taxes, that $700,000 plus is how much of your tax levy?
Good question. That our tax levy, 1% increase in our tax levy is about $290,000. So you figure that that $750,000 that we saved is about 2.5% for the taxpayer on their levy. So that was it's a great thing for us. And you know, we didn't budget much money back in the old days for interest. And then now we have really bumped up that revenue, and it has really reduced the amount of money we need to get from the tax levy. You know, and I come from the era when we were at 10%. We were earning on $1 million. We could put $1 million in the bank back in the 90s, late 80s and 90s, and make a lot of money. So when that really, you know, when that market shut down and we couldn't get that kind of interest, we weren't hardly even budgeting any money for interest because there was none to be had. And then when the market started going, you know, getting better, we were able to say, okay, we'll put a little bit of money in here, but we were still very cautious. And now with 3+1, we really, we know our limits and we know what we need. We've always done a cash flow, so I know my needs on a regular basis, what I need for a month, you know, what's going to come out at this time of year, what we have to pay. So we've always been knowledgeable of that, but now we're taking chances and really putting in the money that's been sitting on the table and making money. I also wanted to mention, too, that we just recently went out for a refunding of a bond. We actually only have two outstanding bond issuances, one when we built our county jail and one when we built our courthouse. When we built our courthouse, we had ERA bonds, and we started looking at refinancing that portion of the bonds back in January, and then COVID hit, so it kind of went on the back burner. But we picked that up, and we're kind of watching the market. Well, come about the end of July, early August, we decided to really go out to market, and we wanted to refinance those bonds. And I have to tell you that when they asked about our financial conditions and, you know, where our finances were because of COVID, we really did we did kind of stand out. I'll pat myself on the back for that. We did really kind of stand out. They were very impressed with the reports that I sent them from 3+1 because I went ahead and sent them our last quarter reports from 3+1 to show them what we were doing with our liquidity, what we had in investments. And it really was a benefit. I do believe that that helped them understand that we were stable and we were doing everything we could here with our investments. And we had a great bond sale. It was, according to Roosevelt and Cross, we used Roosevelt and Cross and ORIC. We got a huge return. I mean, we saved like 24.7% of the interest. We saved almost $1.5 million over the remaining life of that bond that's like 13, 14 years out. So I really believe that this reporting system that the Cash Best score and the reporting system that 3+1 uses was very beneficial in going to market and showing the investors that, you know, we were on task with where we said we were and things were good in our county. So I do have to give kudos to 3+1 for that because it was something that I didn't have before when we went out to borrow money. And I just thought, you know what, I'm going to send them this because this is such a big thing for us right now. It's really been a great benefit for Allegheny County, so I shared it. And I think they appreciated that.
That's amazing. The interest you've earned, the savings from bank fees, and the the unintended positive consequences of the reporting from 3+1. So kudos to you and congratulations, Terry, for doing such a fine job. Bill, I want to turn it over to you. You had something?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to what Terry was saying about her great results in Allegheny County. It, one of the great things about what 3+1 has been able to do is Allegheny isn't alone. Terry's done an extraordinary job of maximizing her earnings, just as she just said. But there's other examples as well. We talked about, you know, Scott German from Genesee County. Prior to using 3+1, his county was earning about $200,000 a year. Over the last 12 months, he's earned $1.4 million. Wayne County was earning about $100,000 a year back when they first started with 3+1. Over the last 12 months, they've earned $2.1 million. Herkimer County was earning just over $100,000. They're earning over $950,000. So there are, I mean, there's some really incredible success stories, which is what, you know, that's what sold me on it. I was skeptical when I first, you know, when I first thought about it, because I thought, geez, I don't know, a few basis points difference in interest. I mean, I'll speak of myself as a former county treasurer, thinking, gosh, can it really make that much of a difference? Is it really worth my trouble to, you know, to use this service, to have my staff monitoring the cash vest score and using the cash vest information? But the answer is clearly, based upon what Terry and other county treasurers have been able to achieve, the answer is clearly yes. We're not talking nickels and dimes. We're talking hundreds of thousands, and in some cases, literally millions of dollars in untapped revenue that was being, as Terry well said, left on the table. So it can make a huge difference at a time when, pardon me, Mark, make a huge difference at a time when every dollar of taxpayer money counts.
That's great. Thank you, Bill. So let's shift back to what we were talking about earlier in the conversation. Terry, you were talking about the priorities today of a county treasurer in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic and the recession that is happening as a result of the pause on our economic activities. So how is 3+1 playing a role as the county adjusts its finances to cover a gap in the 2020 finances or spending plan? And then as you're putting together your 2021 budget, are you using CashVest in any way?
Well, we certainly look at that on a quarterly basis. That's when that comes out. They report to us on a quarterly basis. They, you know, they were coming to visit us, and now we're doing that by phone. So we're trying to keep on track with that and reviewing, you know, what we have for cash and liquidity. Right now, I will tell you that, you know, we've got, you know, about $6 to $7 million that we're waiting on the state to pay us for different claims that have been put in that we're not getting paid for. So we have to keep a watch on that, because that obviously is affecting the cash that we have to operate and to invest. So $7 million, you know, to some people might not be a lot, but to us that really is a large portion of money that we've got sitting on the table with the state that they haven't paid us yet. We are using the CashVest. We are in constant communication with Garrett and Tyler if we have questions. We try to keep in communication with them anyway, because they give us the, we try to talk to them about the rates on treasuries and items like that, so we know that we're being competitive with our rates that we might be trying to get from the banks. We are using them on a regular basis, and They have been great. They will answer our calls immediately, and if they're not available or they don't have an answer to that, they will get back to us as soon as they possibly can. And we are really just thankful to have them on our side. They are a great partner. And, you know, and really, I don't know where we'd be without them, to be honest with you, because during this COVID thing, I am down two staff members, and our county is hesitant on filling vacancies right now. And so we're down two staff members out of a staff of 10, which were 9 full-time, 1 part-time. So now I'm down 2 full-time. So it's been a struggle to keep up with some of that stuff, but it's nice to know that they're a phone call away and we can ask them, and I don't have to spend a lot of time doing that myself. So I'm thankful for them, especially during this pandemic. But, yeah, the $7 million that we've got short on cash is going to make a difference in our next quarterly report, that's for sure. But I think we're going to hold strong. I think we're going to be fine. We're kind of insulated here in Allegheny County. We've got, you know, small businesses, mom-and-pop businesses, that were able to stay open during COVID. Takeouts, all of that stuff was very helpful. Our sales tax was holding its own. This last payment we got was down about 10%, which I hope that trend doesn't continue. But, you know, we were lucky enough to have one business keep going and build a new rest area convenience store at our I-86 and our State Route 19. So that's been a bonus, and that opened up just a little while ago. So we're counting on them to, you know, maybe pull through with some additional sales tax to help us through this hump. But, you know, we're just kind of holding our own down here and using the resources we have and the tools we have, and 3+1 is a great tool.
Bill, for a county that may not be using 3+1 right now, what would be a reason for them to explore this solution at this time in our world?
Well, I think the answer to that, Mark, would be is that there's no risk to them in giving it a try. 3+1 will come in and do all of the work in exploring ways that a county can maximize the value of their liquidity. And if we can't find value for them, we'll do 6 to 8 weeks worth of work, and if we can't find value to them, we'll give them the report and basically shake hands and say there is nothing else that can be done. You're doing a fantastic job. You've got every single avenue is being pursued, and there'll be no fee, no charge, and they will be reassured that they're doing everything just right. Now, let me just say that there's been a couple of cases where that's been exactly the case. They generally tend to be much smaller things like water authorities and smaller public utilities, that are not as complex, organizations, like counties are. And the bigger the organization, the more likelihood there is that there are ways that we can help. And so it's really risk free, and what we've found, as Terry has said, and she's such a wonderful friend and advocate. I really appreciate her kind words about 3+1, because our goal and our job is to help counties. And as a former county official, my job as a county official was to help taxpayers. So the 3+1, one of the reasons I was willing to be involved with it is I feel like my end goal has never changed. I'm still helping taxpayers, but I'm doing it by helping counties. So they've really got no reason to not give 3+1 a try. It's been vetted by not only you, Mark, and the New York State Association of Counties and Steve Aquario, but also by the National Association of Counties. It's we've gone from 7 counties in New York just last year to we now proudly serve 18 counties in New York State, And we now have counties in Pennsylvania, Texas, Nebraska, Ohio, Maryland, soon to come Florida. So NACO is taking the message nationwide. And it really started as the core. I can honestly say it started at the core, was in Western New York. That's where the seeds sprouted. And it's because of people like Terry Ross and Scott German and that handful of counties in Western New York that were willing to listen to the great ideas that Joe Lewison had. It's really become a national presence. And I would encourage any county to give us a call. We'd be happy to give them our best advice.
Once a county budget watchdog, always a county budget watchdog. Thank you, Bill Cherry. Last words to you, Terry. Is there anything you would like to add to the conversation before we wrap up?
Well, I just want to say, you know, I'm pleased that you asked me to do this, Mark. It's kind of an interesting plug for the county and for our association and for NYSAC. And for 3+1, I think it's good to get out there what tools other counties are using, because like myself, I would have never known about it had I not heard it from another county. And you know, we need those kind of things. We need that interaction with other counties to say, hey, what are you guys using for this? What are you using for that? And we can all lend to the conversation and to the ability to do our jobs as well as we can, because it does take a village to do that. And, you know, we don't do it on our own. We do it with our staff and with our counterparts in other counties. And whether they're bigger or smaller than us, we all have that common denominator, and that is the taxpayer, and that is the money in trying to get the best we can for our taxpayers and run our counties, you know, with the limited resources we have, but still serve the public through all those other organizations and programs. I mean, if we didn't do our job to spend our money wisely, then, you know, programs like Meals on Wheels and those kind of things would suffer. And those are the things that really help our residents of our counties, is those type of programs, and we need to keep those continuing. I mean, I can't imagine what could have happened with our county residents if we weren't able to continue funding Meals on Wheels. I mean, that really allowed those seniors to stay home and not be exposed and really reduce our number of positive COVIDs, and they were able to see someone and have a meal. And without the things we do in our office to get the money back on investments and everything else we do here, we wouldn't have been able to continue to do that. So I do want to thank you and your organization. You guys have been wonderful through this COVID. I sat in on a lot of the meetings that you guys had, and you were really up to date and kept us all informed all along the way. So kudos to you guys too as well. But thank you for asking me to be part of this podcast. And thank you, Bill, for all your kind words.
Oh, thank you, Terry, and Mark, thank you as well. I really appreciate you including me on the podcast, and it's wonderful to be associated with Terry Ross in Allegheny County and also with my friends at NYSAC.
And I want to thank you both for participating in our county conversation today. NYSAC and the County Treasurers Association, our role is to facilitate the sharing of best practices, of sharing good ideas. What one county is doing to help taxpayers can help another county do the same thing, to be the watchdog, to be of better service to the residents of counties across the state. So thank you. Thank you for lending your expertise and your experiences with us today. We appreciate it. Stay well, stay safe, and have a great rest of the year. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this NYSAC podcast. Keep tuning in to hear more insightful conversations on county government throughout New York State. And feel free to reach out to our staff if there is a topic you would like to hear us discuss on the podcast.